This is a podcast about our lived experience, which unfortunately includes infant death and subsequent mental health struggles. Please take good care of yourself and only listen if this content feels safe for you right now. We'll still be here when you're ready.
Hi, I'm Judith.
And I'm Melina. We are internet friends turned real-life friends who both experienced the tragic loss of our sons to sudden infant death syndrome in winter of 2021.
In the year after Aiden died, my husband and I both became unemployed, my parents divorced, and we had to move 5 times for various reasons.
And as for me, just a few weeks before my son Quinn died, my then husband had come out to me as a transgender woman and we're subsequently divorcing.
It's been a lot.
It's been a lot.
But as long as we're living, we will love our sons deeply and work to make sure that we live a life that makes them proud.
Welcome to As Long As I'm Living podcast.
We're so glad you're here.
Okay, I can't use my microphone today because my headphones, my cat chewed through the cord on my headphones and I forgot to order new ones and I can't use the microphone without the headphones, you know.
Okay.
You know.
Okay, so let's dive into it.
Let's dive in.
This is Aiden's mom. I'm Judith.
And this is Quinn's mom. I am Melina. You all know us. Here we are again.
Unless you're new, in which you don't know us. And then I'll repeat, I'm Judith, I'm Aiden's mom.
And I'm Alina, I'm Quinn's mom.
Okay, so today we're talking about a topic that, to me, has come up a lot in my life. And I wonder, Alina, if it comes up in your life, too, or if this is difficult for you to talk about. So you just let me know.
Yeah.
Also, look, I've got this glow of sweat.
You're glowing, Judith. You are glowing. Judith just came back from a run. Literally just came back from a run.
I know. My glow is dripping off my face. Okay. Let's start. So this is a topic that has been really relevant recently, and that is what I'm going to call lost mom guilt, a spin from mom guilt, which I'm not even sure. The thing is, I don't feel mom guilt. I only feel lost mom guilt. Okay, so I Googled what mom guilt is because I want to make sure that I'm using the word correctly.
Yeah.
Because it's not something I regularly think about. But mom guilt is the name given to feelings of guilt women experience in relation to their kids.
Yes.
It says they constantly worry about making mistakes and trying to get everything right. Mom guilt comes from an unrealistic ideal of a perfect mom. I think about it in the context of, like, I have a work trip and yes. I'm going to be gone for like 2 nights and yes. I'm missing
yes.
a birthday party. Or what? Not a birthday party. I guess that would be slightly bigger of a deal. But maybe you're just missing a performance, a school performance. So you feel yes. mom guilt because you have work. Or I think mom guilt also is like some parents feel it like when they take a day off and like they pay for a nanny or something and then they spend their day like sitting in bed just staring at the ceiling and like they know you yeah. know like I think maybe they feel mom yeah. guilt then. Again, it's not something I feel like I don't typically feel it except in the context that I'll speak about in a minute. And so for me it's like hard to perfectly describe, but I think we got the gist of what mom guilt. I think that's what it is.
I think it comes into play when you are prioritizing something over perceiving that you're prioritizing something above and beyond your child.
Yes, yes, exactly. Or above and beyond one child.
Right. Above and beyond one of your children.
Exactly.
One or more of your children, you feel like you're prioritizing something else above them. And there's this feeling in our hearts, you know, that comes, is it societal? Is it in our own bodies? I don't know, that your child should be the most important thing at all in your mind and your heart at any given time. And sometimes life gets in the way and you have to or want to prioritize other things. And I think we can all recognize that that makes sense, but it also doesn't help with the feeling necessarily. So I think that's what it is.
100%. Okay. So that's the feeling that we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
And recently I've been feeling something that I call lost mom guilt, which is where I feel that I'm doing less, I'm giving less to my dead child than I am to my alive child. Or there are times where I have to prioritize my alive child's needs over my dead child's needs. And I feel a tremendous amount of guilt for that. And the reason why I think I feel so guilty is because I feel as his mother, as Aiden's mom, I'm probably his number one, I'm his probably only advocate, you know, mm-hmm. and also I carry this responsibility of like perpetuating his memory and his legacy. And it is my responsibility to bring him into this world, or I feel I have a responsibility to bring him into this world. And so there are times that I have to prioritize other things over him, I think it's especially painful because it's a reminder that, one, he's dead, and and I wonder sometimes, like, well, then do I have to do anything for him? You know?
Yeah.
Am I making up in my head this whole narrative that he even needs me to remember him and talk about him? Maybe he doesn't need anything. If I'm able to put everyone else's needs before his, then maybe he doesn't need anything. And I think for me, that's like another layer of sadness.
Why don't you give an example of the recent time that you were really feeling this, just so we can set the stage for this conversation?
Okay, so I had called Alina about this incident where I went to Hobby Lobby, which I don't frequent. But I went to Hobby Lobby because they were having they had like a bunch of pinwheels for his grave. And so I went, and when I went, my daughter, my alive child, was like getting cranky in line, and she was like starting to cry, and there was a long line, and she was getting fussy, and I was wearing her, and it was like chaos and loud, and I was like holding these pinwheels in my hand, and I was like, I could just walk out of here and like walk out of the store and take care of my daughter and leave these pinwheels behind, and like there would be absolutely no consequences. Like,
yeah,
I would not, no one would know. It wouldn't even be like, no one would even notice except for me. And so I felt tremendous amount of guilt because it was like I felt I couldn't win. Either I paid attention to my daughter's needs, my alive daughter's needs, and I left the line and went to tend to care for her and left the pinwheels behind. Or I paid attention to my dead child's need or my perceived dead child's need. Because again, like I don't know. But, you know, what to me feels like tending to my dead child by buying these pinwheels for his grave. And I was conflicted. It was like, what should I do? It's like, I felt really guilty. If I went with one, I felt like guilty towards the other. And if I went with the other, I felt guilty towards the one. And I think a lot of parents probably feel this way between two alive children, but I think it adds another layer of complexity when one of them is dead and the consequences are less. The only consequence for me leaving would be like the sadness in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I feel having an alive child. I think something Alina and I have spoken about, because she doesn't have an alive child today, is like birthday
present. You're sweet to say today. I love that.
but
someday.
Like birthday presents. We spoke about birthday presents. We're like, okay, how much would we spend on a birthday gift for a dead baby versus how much we spend on a birthday gift for an alive baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's test this out. How much would you spend on a birthday party? Let's say a birthday party even, because, you know, like you're thinking of throwing Quinn a birthday party.
Yeah.
How much would you spend on a birthday party for an alive baby versus a dead baby? How much would you spend on a birthday gift? Like, kind of talk me through.
I mean, I think that I can't put a number on it because I've never thrown an alive or dead baby birthday party, but I would absolutely, without question, spend less on a dead baby birthday party or birthday gift. Like, probably a quarter of the amount.
I could say even between my daughter, you've spent money on her. You sent her.
Yes, I have.
I think you've spent more money on her than you probably have on Quinn this year.
Agree. 100%. That is true.
It's just a sucky feeling.
Yeah. So, I mean, so here's the thing, right? Like when you have two, and we're speaking, neither of us has multiple alive children. So obviously we're talking out of our asses here, but I could imagine that having two alive children, having to split your time between the two of them probably feels really challenging. The guilt when their needs are conflicting is probably very challenging. But I do think that there's a part of you that can say, well, I will get to that other child at some other point. They're okay. Like, let's say, imagine a situation where your baby has woken up from their nap and they're crying in their crib, but you're tending to your toddler. The baby's okay in their crib. Like, yes, they're unhappy. Yes, they need a clean diaper. They need you to feed them, right? But like if you devote 5 minutes to your other child who also really needs you, maybe they're hungry. They're in their, you know, high chair and you're feeding them food or whatever. Like the needs are very concrete.
And almost equal.
Almost equal. And you can also say to yourself, like, they're okay.
Right.
They will survive me waiting 5 minutes to do this while I tend to the other child. And the child who's getting tended to, their needs are very concrete. They do have to get their diaper changed. They have to, like, that's all very, 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 very real. Whereas when you have the alive child and the dead child, let's be honest, like, Aiden doesn't need anything. Right. Quinn doesn't need anything.
Yeah.
They're dead. I hate to put it so bluntly, but they're dead.
Right.
And they're not going to be okay. In at the same time, they're going to be completely okay if we never do anything ever again, right, because they don't have any needs. And also, they're never going to be okay because they're already dead. So it's right, like you can't use any of those thought processes to make yourself feel better about tending to the other child or your other needs because they're dead.
When I think about what I did that day when I was in the store, is I actually in that moment said, like, Aiden needs me right now.
Yeah.
I will tend to you when I leave the store, but he needs me right now. And I put it as a priority to get those pinwheels. And I'm 99.9% sure I did that to make me feel better and it had nothing to do with him.
Yeah, I agree.
Because the reality is that we as lost parents, we make these rituals and we make these things to give us a way to be a mother to these kids.
Yeah.
You know? It's so I feel good as a mother. It has nothing to do with them. It's for me. And I think that's the reality. And it's a really sad reality.
Yeah. So it's almost like when you're prioritizing Aiden, you're actually prioritizing yourself and your relationship with Aiden, not really Aiden.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's talk about the birthday cake last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, I called you like sobbing because I had made Aiden a birthday cake. And you're like, Judith, don't make him a cake. Yeah. Why are you making yourself a cake? He doesn't care if there's a cake. And I was like dying making this stupid school bus cake. And you were like, why are you doing this? And I said, I'm doing it for me because I need to know that I would make him a birthday party and I would make him a cake because it kills me to think that I make my niece and nephew a better cake than I make my own.
Yeah, because you are a mom who gets really amped about parties, makes a whole big deal about birthdays.
I like a theme. Yeah. It's my niece's and my brother's birthday this weekend, and I'm making a unicorn pool float cake. Because it's my niece's birthday party and it's a pool party and I'm not going. So it's a long story. I'm not going, but I'm making a cake. Anyway, the point is that like it kills me to think that I will make my brother a unicorn pool float cake, but I can't make my own kid a unicorn pool float cake.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's fair.
Yeah.
And so I feel like a sense of obligation to do it, even though I don't want to do it, even though it hurts to do it.
And you know what? While we're talking about that particular incident where you were feeling so guilty because you felt like a bad mom because you were having a hard time making this birthday cake and he really needed it. You had to do this, right? You were like, I feel like a bad mom. I feel like a bad mom. And that conversation, I forget if we've talked about this in the podcast, but you and I have talked about this, was actually triggering for me. Because I did not make Quinn a birthday cake on his birthday last year. I very much on his birthday last year prioritized my own mental health and did nothing at all.
Right. So did you feel mom guilt about that or no?
So I felt zero mom guilt about that on his actual birthday. But seeing how big a deal you made in your family for Aiden's birthday, there was like, and that's another piece of mom guilt too, right? Is comparing yourself to other moms.
100%.
And so I did feel that conversation was triggering for me. Like I got off the phone with you and like, I was sad. Like I was like, I should have made Quinn a birthday cake. And for like, you know, 45 minutes, I felt really guilty and I 100% let that go. Like I made the correct decision for Quinn's birthday and for me.
Let me ask you a question. If Quinn was alive.
Oh, I would have made him a cake. No question. Oh my gosh.
Would you have made him a party?
I would have, oh my God, yeah, we would have totally thrown him a party. It wouldn't have been like a big to-do with a ton of decorations, but there would have been family there. I would have made him a carrot cake with cream cheese frosting, and it would have been his first taste of sugar. And
it's funny because my daughter already had sugar.
I know.
She's like,
you're not a first-time mom, Judith.
Good point. But even with Aiden and I would have done it. But okay, you would have made a big deal. So how did it feel for you knowing that? You would have made a big deal if he was alive, but he was dead, and so you didn't make a big deal. It was the question that you were comparing yourself to me, or were you comparing yourself to alive Quinn?
That I was comparing myself to you.
Oh, classic mom guilt.
I know, classic mom guilt, right?
Classic mom guilt.
Like I said, I did not have guilt on his actual birthday because I felt really secure in my decision to do nothing because what I really felt like I actually felt like I had like this really strong clarity about the fact that 1-year-olds don't really need a big birthday party. Like I remember saying to my therapist, I remember saying to my family, like what a 1-year-old wants is their mom looking at them all day and paying attention to them all day. And so that's what I did for my dead 1-year-old on his dead baby birthday. I thought about him all day.
Yeah.
And so I think I would have, obviously I would have made a bigger deal like externally for him if he had been alive, but I do feel good about that. That said though, I did feel guilty when you were doing the whole thing on for Aiden's birthday, because I was like, oh, should I have done that? And again, that's just the guilt talking, you know?
Well, you know what's coming up in a few weeks.
Quinn's second birthday.
Quinn's birthday.
Yeah.
So have you thought about it?
I have. I am all over the place.
Okay.
All over the place. I like the idea of throwing a party this year. Like, I feel up for it. But I also, the logistics of that feel like a lot. I think part of it is that my family, Quinn's family structure is a little confusing. He has two parents who are not married anymore. And, you know, my family lives nearby. Kaylee's family does not live nearby. They'd have to travel for the party. And I have a boyfriend and, you know, like, it's just like a confusing family structure. And it's the interpersonal stuff, not because anybody is not loving and would not be excited to be there. And like, we would have fun. It's just, it feels like a lot of interpersonal, a lot of emotional labor.
Okay. Two follow-up questions. Number one is, what do you think Quinn would think and feel?
If he were two, I'm going to imagine him alive for a second.
Yeah. And what would a 2-year-old want? Granted, how many 2-year-olds do we know?
I know 0 2-year-olds, but an alive 2-year-old would want to rip wrapping paper off of shit and eat cookies or cake and snuggle with his parents and maybe get loved on by other family. None of that stuff is stuff I can do with him dead.
Yeah, but you can make cake and cookies.
And then eat them by myself?
You can donate them.
Ugh.
You can wrap. You can just wrap gifts and donate them, or you can wrap gifts and unwrap them yourself.
Oh, God, that feels brutal.
Or you can do nothing and just spend the day thinking about him, just like you did last year.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm going so back and forth. I had this whole plan, like, 6 months ago. I was like, oh, I'm going to throw a party for him this year, and my apartment building has a karaoke room, and I was going to rent the karaoke room, and then I was going to have the whole family. We're going to do karaoke, and it was going to be fun.
What if you celebrate Quinn's birthday not on Quinn's birthday? Like, a month later.
Yeah.
Like, a month. A significant period of time later.
I could do that.
Only if you want to. I'm just thinking. If you want to. But if you don't want to, you don't have this obligation to do anything except think about him. And there's not even an obligation to do that. As we said, they don't really have a lot of needs.
I mean, I think I have to, like, this is good we're talking about this. I've also been talking about this in therapy. But, like, I feel like I need to think about what I actually want to do and not make any decisions out of guilt.
I 100% agree.
So this is a very appropriate topic.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. 100%.
Because let's be honest, he's dead.
Right.
He's dead. So it doesn't matter what the fuck I do for his birthday, because he's still going to be dead. And I remember thinking to myself last year at his first birthday, and I'm still thinking this today, like, I have a lifetime of dead Quinn birthdays ahead of me. My lifetime full of dead Quinn birthdays. So, like, there's a lot of Quinn's birthdays that I could throw a karaoke party.
There are so many. One of the things I've been thinking about is, like, what I want Aiden's birthday to look like in 10 years.
Right. And also, like, you know, you have a living child who you're going to try to keep Aiden's memory alive for and celebrate his birthday for her, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that you'll feel a lot of, do you think that once your daughter is a little bit more aware, you're going to feel guilt, like you want to try to keep them equal, like for her to perceive them as equal?
There's no way I could do that. There's just, like, no way. I think about it, like, every time I buy her something, I should buy him something. I mean, I'm going to go.
No. I mean, more like, if for her, let's say for her 7th birthday, you guys go to the water park. are you going to think, oh, I have to go to the water park for Aiden's birthday, otherwise Mia's going to not think of him as a hero.
I think I want to make his birthday like a holiday.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I want it to be a day where I take my kids out of school.
Yeah.
And we go do something fun and stupid and silly together. And I want them to treat it just they would like they would treat, I don't know. It's on Hanukkah, so like there's a lot to do. But it's important to me that it's like a fun, happy day.
Yeah. That they look forward to.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to look like a birthday party because I think if I invited friends over, like they'd all be my friends. And I just don't necessarily trust all my friends to know what to do at a dead baby's birthday party. I don't think it would be reasonable for me to like hope to make them equally birthday party-y, but I do think it would be reasonable for me to make it be a holiday, like a completely different, happy, joyous kind of a day.
Yes.
And then I think about how, you know, I've been thinking about Aiden's bar mitzvah, which is in so many years, but I've been thinking about it just because it's like a huge party that you would throw and like it's big, you know? Yeah. And I think what I've decided is I'd like to go with my whole family to like a cabin in the woods and like do a different. My point is I don't think his birthdays are ever going to look like an alive baby's birthdays, but they can look different and special in their own way. And I feel an obligation and I want to celebrate them and highlight them and make it a special time. It is not going to be like an alive baby's birthday. I don't think it would be reasonable for me to make like a theme every, I just don't know how I could do it.
Yeah.
And I think at some point it's going to get difficult because I don't know what 5-year-olds like, you know?
I know. That's the thing that breaks my heart.
It would really hurt to like call my friend and be like, what is your 5-year-old son like? You know, like it would be very painful for me to have to do that. So I think I want to find a way to honor his birthday and celebrate his birthday and honor him that it does not look like an alive baby's birthday party or a live baby's bar mitzvah or an alive, you know, it's going to have to look like something completely else. Kind of like how Thanksgiving looks different than Labor Day. You know, they're different holidays. Maybe or 4th of July, like Thanksgiving and 4th of July. 4th of July is a great holiday. I love 4th of July. And I actually really like Thanksgiving too, but I celebrate them completely differently, equally, but differently.
You know, I actually like that as like something to come back to help assuage the guilt. Different, like they don't have to be equal, but the difference between equitable and equal, right?
Right.
Like it's okay that they're different as long as they're both important. Does that make sense? Like it's okay for them to look
they're
different.
Equally as important, but they are not the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like all like, and that's true. Like when you have a toddler and a baby, like an alive toddler and an alive baby, like they don't need the exact same care or the exact same number of minutes in the day of care, but they need to have the care that is appropriate for their age and stage. And our kid's age is dead and stage is dead. So they have different needs and, you know, different needs and wants than an alive baby.
And what's important to me ultimately is that people remember him.
Yeah.
And that I have a space to remember him and that he's not taboo. Yeah. That's what's most important to me, that his name and that his memory.
Both of us really feel like they are members of our family.
Exactly.
So whatever we have to do so that anytime anybody thinks of my family, Quinn is in their mind as well.
Yes.
That's what I want to do. Because he's very much a part of my everyday and in my
Actually, when I think about it, like last year, like my sister and my friend, they dedicated like this children's school day of learning stuff in memory of Aiden for his birthday. And to me, that was like a beautiful way to remember him, to mark his place in the world that you would not do for an alive baby.
Right.
But it was equitable, not equal. Ultimately, what it comes down to is I want him to have a place in this world.
Yeah.
So we just need to find a way to have a place in this world that doesn't have to be the same, but is equally as permanent as my alive child. Agreed.
So this is all like kind of external stuff, right? Like keeping them alive in the world. I also want to touch on the guilt, the mom guilt for me, because obviously you and me, we are the ones who know Aiden and Quinn the best. We are the ones who keep them the most present in our minds. Do you feel guilt when you feel like you are not thinking about him enough? Because I do occasionally. So let me Give an example. If I talk to him out loud and realize that I haven't talked to him out loud in a while, I feel like shit. And I don't think it matters. And I'm able to move past it fairly quickly. But there is this part of me that's like, oh my God, like you haven't thought about your baby in 6 hours. Yeah. And then I feel guilty. And that's internal. That's inside my own head. It has nothing to do with other people recognizing him. Do you ever feel that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a picture. There's a picture of Aiden in my daughter's nursery. And like in the mornings we say good morning, but sometimes we don't say good morning because sometimes I'm tired and sometimes I just don't remember. Yeah. And I do feel guilty, and I try, and it's hard because you can try and remind yourself by saying they don't need anything. He doesn't actually care. He knows. And that feels shitty too. Like, I just feel like the ways that you comfort yourself don't necessarily feel so good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Either I tell myself he doesn't. It's the same thing as the mom. It's always the same. Either I say it doesn't matter because he doesn't care and that doesn't feel good. Yes. Or you say it does matter because he does care and I'm failing him and that doesn't feel good. So really, I have yet to find this third way of thinking, which would be like...
I mean, the thing that I think that I do find comforting is my heart is thinking about him all the time. It doesn't make any sense because hearts don't think. But I think that the in the spiritual realm where Quinn exists, which is not really a image that I have in my mind really, but wherever he is, whatever connection he and I still share, I think conscious thought and birthday cakes and all of that actually aren't a part of what he's feeling for me. I think those are important for me and I'm sure he appreciates them if he's aware, but I think the love in my heart that I feel every second of the day is what he feels, and the conscious thought is not as important. Do you disagree or agree?
I do agree. Or I also think that he's only like half a step away from my thoughts at all time too.
That is true.
So it's like he's only – so okay, and he's not front of mind, but I can always bring him front of mind. And he shapes the way I do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Just like his life shapes so much of my life now for good and for bad, honestly.
I have two other specific times that I feel guilty that I'm just going to call out in case anybody can relate in our podcast audience. So one is I feel mildly guilty when I look at his photos and feel sad as opposed to the times I'm able to look at his photos and feel happy.
Interesting.
That doesn't feel good. I don't like that.
That's interesting.
And not always, but sometimes that makes me feel guilty. And then another thing, this is a specific thing that happened one time, which is I looked at his picture and it took me about a half a second to see him as my baby. And for that first half a second, I just saw him as a baby. And that broke my heart. I felt so guilty. I was like, oh my God, Quinn, like, I'm so sorry. Like, you're my baby, you're Quinn. But I saw him and I was just like, that's a cute baby. And obviously this all happened so fast. It wasn't like conscious, but there was a realization that, oh, that's my baby, as opposed to when I normally look at him and he's my baby.
I have felt guilty when one time I was at a bakery and the person behind the counter said, it was before I had Mia, the person behind the counter said, do you have kids? And I said, no. I didn't want to get into it and I was never going to see this person again. And I wanted him to stop talking to me.
Yeah.
And now when I'm at Trader Joe's, and they always ask questions at Trader Joe's.
They do. They're chatty.
In the place. When they ask, now I do the opposite. I say, yeah, I have two. Like I feel like if I'm going to lie, I would rather lie because it felt so bad to say, you know, I could never say one. Either I'm going to say the truth or I'm going to say two.
Right.
Or you say some variation of like, I have one at home right now, or the.
Right. Where you sidestep.
Yeah. Or you sidestep. And that's honestly like the best way. But sometimes like when you're in Trader Joe's, it happens so fast. Like I've decided to lie on the affirmative and just be like, yeah, I have two. And then they say, how old are they? And then I say a newborn and almost 2-year-old. And they're like, oh, you're so busy. And I'm like, yep.
You're like, yes, I am. I am more busy than you know.
Exactly. I feel like when I say I just have one, I feel so overcome with guilt. I just feel like shit. And it doesn't feel true. It feels like a lie coming out of my lips.
Yeah.
You know? And it hurts. And I don't like the way it feels on my heart. So I'd rather just say I have two. Okay, I'm sure we could think of more times where we feel guilty, but I can't think of them right now. When else do you feel guilty?
Oh, you know, when I used to feel guilt a lot was right in the beginning. When he first died, he was 3 months and 27 days old. And for those first couple of month milestones, like when he would have been 4 months, when he would have been 5 months, when he would have been 6 months, I was like really acutely aware of the passing of time and of mm-hmm. his age. And at some point, like now I'm just like, yeah, he's almost two. Like I am much less aware of how old he would be now than I was in the beginning.
I was just thinking about that this morning.
Yeah. Actually. Like you said, Aiden's almost two, but he's like a year and a half.
I know, but I just can't. I just can't.
I know. Believe me, I know.
I don't want to count. It's like too much in my brain. I don't like the way it feels. Yeah. It doesn't matter. I don't like knowing how long it's been since he died. I don't like knowing how old he would be now. I know for some people that's really important, but to me, the passing of time is too complicated.
Agreed. And it hurts. That is something that I felt guilty about in the beginning, though, was when I first started to stop realizing, or when I first stopped being aware of that, that I felt guilty.
But Alina, for me, it was a conscious stopping of being aware. For you, was it conscious? Like for me, it was not conscious.
I all of a sudden realized I had missed like his 9 month milestone. Oh, actually no, I definitely did not forget 9 months, but I like all of a sudden realized I like wasn't aware of his 11th month.
I also felt that way on the 4th of, like it used to be every 4th of the month was so painful. Yeah. And now sometimes,
which for our listeners, that's the day of the month that Aiden died.
So every so often, like now I'll look at the calendar and it'll be the 4th, and instead my brain, instead of thinking, oh, it's the 4th, it thinks, oh, only 3 more days until my daughter's whatever month.
Yeah.
It, like, my brain is, shit, the 4th is closely associated with the 7th as opposed to the day that he died. So I feel guilt around that, but only for a second, because I think the reason I've stopped feeling guilty is because I made a conscious effort to stop keeping track of time.
Yeah.
And now I just don't keep track of time at all. Just now I was wondering, like, how old is my daughter? After 3 months and 27 days, actually. I just didn't want to know. Like, yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want to know because it scares me, and I don't care, and I don't want to know. And maybe after she's passed the SIDS window, I'll feel better about it. But for now, it's like she's in the SIDS window. That's what I can tell you.
That's how old she is. She's in the SIDS window.
Yeah, she's in the SIDS window. I'll let you know when she's out.
Well, I'll end this by just saying, like, guilt is normal as a parent. And lost mom guilt is super normal as a lost parent. Like, I think it's so common, so common. So, like, if there are things that people are feeling guilty about, like, we've probably felt them too. We just, like, quickly threw this episode together, but
yeah,
it's so normal. And it sucks. It fucking sucks.
Your life is bad, you know. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, our lives are pretty bad.
To all of our wonderful new friends, we want to hear from you. Email us at aslongasimlivingpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Instagram @aslongasimlivingpodcast. We'll get back to you as soon as our grieving brains allow.
Yay!